following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. And again, I can say that because it's 12:01. It's afternoon. Pastor Jonathan here. Alan usually is here on Thursdays, but he's up on vacation up in Hume Lake area, relaxing, recuperating, I think, from the, you know, craziness of what we've been going through for the last few months. And so I'm filling in for him today. I wanted to give a couple of quick announcements. We've got our Wednesday summer concert series starting this Wednesday. The Resonance, we have them outside in the front lot, and we're really excited this year. The topics we're going to be talking about are all apologetic in nature. So we're dealing with topics of how can you trust the Bible? If God is a God of suffering, if God is a God of love, how can there be so much suffering in the world? And so we're going to be dealing with those difficult questions that people tend to ask sometimes when you share your faith. And so it's a great opportunity for you to invite your friends, invite your neighbors. And so I wanted to really encourage you guys to come on out for that. Also, if you have not taken the class, This Place Called Refuge, it's our kind of welcome to Refuge, getting to know what we're about. If you haven't taken that class, we've got it being offered at the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock, free lunch, tour of the church, meet with the pastors, find out what Refuge is all about. So we'd love to see you there. I'll be there at the class as well. So today we are going to be going through a passage of scripture that I've been studying lately, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to be discussing the first section of verses there. So let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that you would be with us, that you would speak to each and every person who's watching this live stream, and that you would speak to each of us about the truths that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1, it says this: "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church about the experiences that Israel had coming out of Egypt. That's what he's talking about our spiritual forefathers, our brothers. And they had experienced great spiritual blessings, not unlike those that Christians experience. They'd been delivered out of Egypt through the blood of the Lamb applied to the doorposts, just as Christians have been delivered out of sin by the blood of the Lamb. They were led by the cloud of God's glory through the wilderness, just as we are led by God's Holy Spirit. Israel had passed through the sea, just as believers are baptized and cleansed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Israel was given bread and water from God Himself, just as believers are given both the bread and water of life that's found in Jesus Christ. Yet it says that God was not pleased with Israel, and that most of them fell in the wilderness. And it makes me wonder, why? If God did all these great things, isn't that a sign that he did love them and did care for them? So how does it say that he wasn't pleased with them? I mean, this is a pretty hard-hitting statement, but it's really true. Only two adults that walked out of Egypt were entered into the promised land, and Moses wasn't even one of them. It was Joshua and Caleb. For all their spiritual blessings and all their spiritual experiences, the nation of Israel never entered into the rest that God had for them. And it seems that the Corinthians here, if you read through the whole context of this section here, they were taking some sort of liberties. They were like, hey, I can do whatever I want. God's forgiven me, right? It's all about grace. And I've been forgiven, so I can do whatever I kind of want to do. And they were thinking that they were safe because of past blessings and past spiritual experiences. I mean, they had said a prayer of salvation, right? I don't know. They were baptized, right? They were taking communion, right? I mean, aren't these things supposed to be blessings? And what Paul is writing to them is that he wants them to understand that simply taking part in these Christian traditions and practices was not enough to keep them safe from the wrath of God if they were living lives of sin. He further explains in verse 6, he says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it was written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer or the destroying angel." Now, Israel had committed idolatry. They were worshiping an idol made of gold right at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law, and Israel's down worshiping this golden calf. They committed sexual immorality when Balaam convinced Balak to send in the Moabite women to entice the Israelites away. And they continued to murmur and complain against the Lord. And the result of their sin was that God brought his judgment upon them. They had been delivered out of Egypt, and God had given them his great covenant. But with that great covenant comes great responsibility. And Israel was called to obey God and glorify him. But instead, they chose to live a life of sin. Now, Paul warned the Corinthians here that they had to watch out, that they did not become like the Israelites who had experienced God's blessings, but used them as a license to sin. Now, when we look at our own lives and oftentimes, you know, we look at, well, what can I do? Can a Christian do this? What we're really saying is, can I get away with this thing that I want to do with in my flesh? And a lot of times we might go, well, we're saved, aren't we? We can, God's going to forgive us. Or maybe it's just it's okay. It's not a big deal for Christians to do these things. What we're doing is revealing a selfish, self-focused heart, which is exactly what God judged Israel for in the wilderness. And you might think that this is something small, it's just a little thing, but it can be a symptom of a great and serious disease. You start by having tightness of chest, and pretty soon you could end up with a heart attack. It's something very serious that can start with something very small. And in verse 11, it goes on to say, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." These warnings were given to us as an example. We actually have a greater responsibility than even Israel did, because we can learn from Israel's mistakes. We must be careful to not be overconfident in ourselves and our ability to resist temptation as Israel was. But instead, we need to be encouraged that even when we are tempted to fall into sin, God will always provide a way out. God has promised that he's watching and in a way almost supervising us through any and all temptations that we face, whether they come through the world, the flesh, or the devil. He promises to limit it according to our capability to endure it, according to our ability to rely on him, not just as we rely on ourselves. Now, this verse is used a lot to be like, God will never give you more than you can handle. It doesn't say that. It says God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. God will put you into difficult situations, and maybe you are in one of those times right now as we're going through this major upheaval of health issues and economic issues. Maybe you feel that this is all too much for you to bear. That's great, because you're going to learn to trust, to rely on Jesus Christ. You're going to learn to trust in him for everything. But if you're tempted to kind of work the system and tempted to give in and say, well, you know, I could totally do this and then I could get out of my financial problems. I know it's a little shady and all, but you know, I'm going to just go for it. By doing that, we're giving in to temptation. Instead, God says that he will provide a way out for us. He will provide us a way of escape. And again, that way of escape is not necessarily just mere relief from the pressure of temptation. We are going to be tempted. God hasn't promised that he's going to remove temptation from our lives. He's promised to not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to handle. We can trust in him. We can trust in him that we could face the same temptations over and over again and overcome them. And eventually Satan's like, forget it. Every time I throw this temptation his way, he just gives. He's able to bear it. He's able to walk through it. That's done. But then he'll try something else, right? He does that. The enemy does that. But the way of escape that God provides for us, the word that's actually used there is a word that's used to describe a mountain pass with the idea of an army kind of surrounded by an enemy, but there's a mountain pass up through the hills. It may not be an easy way, but it is a way out. And so don't trust just in what you've done in the past with your faith. Don't be like, well, I've been baptized. Oh, I walked forward at a Harvest Crusade. Or maybe you've walked forward at 16 different Harvest Crusades or church services. And oh, I'm good. I've said the prayers. I've been baptized. I take communion. Don't trust in those things to be what saves you. It is only the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings us salvation. Spiritual events, spiritual blessings in our lives are meant to be just that, just a spiritual blessing, but not an endowment of everything that makes us holy and righteous and pure, because that only comes through the grace of God. Learn to trust in him. Learn to seek after him during those times of temptation. We all are going to face it. We're all going to face those struggles, those trials, those difficult times in our lives. But Christ will see us through. So trust in him. Trust in him for your salvation, not in your own experiences or things that you may have done. Just because you take communion doesn't make you saved. That would be a works that you would have to do to be saved. It's what we do because we are saved, but not what makes us saved. So trust in Jesus Christ completely during this time and in all times moving forward in your life. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this chance to share this word with those who are watching. And I pray that each person would be encouraged by this, that we can look to Israel's past and see the mistakes they've made and learn those lessons so that we don't have to repeat them, that we can learn to completely trust in you, that we might not be ashamed, that we may not stand before you one day and you say, depart from me, I never knew you. Lord, we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest that I have prepared for you. Help us, Lord, to stay strong in you, not in our own power, but in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, God bless you guys, and we'll be back here tomorrow for communion with Pastor Bill and Joy. God bless.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.